You're listening to Drake in the Morning with Wes and Sid on 98.1 The Max.
Oh, you know it. Hello, it's Friday, the 11th day of August. It is humid. Today's high is about 90, and then rain coming in today at some point tonight. We're getting squeezed from the north and the south, so some kind of moisture in some capacity, making it even more humid, which is great. That's tomorrow and Sunday, too, and into next week. So here we go into the weekend. Elvis Week has begun officially today. There are various events. Grab a copy of the newspaper. The Commercial Appeals Go Memphis section has a list of events for the entire week. This is from today through next Friday. 40 years since we lost E, and still can't find him. But he is everywhere. He's everywhere. He's everywhere. And this is the first time that folks are coming since the new hotel, since the cleanup over there, which was about 30 years overdue. And so we hope everybody has a good time and brings us their money and pours it into our tourism and then goes back home quickly. 7 days. So bring your dough, buy your T-shirts, and then beat it. But it'll be fun for the week. So, yay, Elvis. We'll be playing some Elvis songs like we always do. So that'll be fun. Tonight, Matchbox 20 is playing at Snowden Grove. That show is going to end up being a sellout. So that should be good. Hopefully it'll be a nice night for it. So have fun over yonder. Well, I don't know. We know where to start with the dumbasses of the day here. This is the headline. This may end up just being an issue where I just read the headlines and then just move along. 15 teenagers treated for rabies after engaging in bestiality with donkey. Bestiality does not mean they acted like, well, it means something not good. 15, not just one. One would have been plenty, but I guess they lined up. It must have been a kegger or something.
Or a good-looking donkey.
Or a really, really good-looking donkey. And patient. 15 minors who sexually assaulted a donkey in the small rural town of some foreign place, in the province of something, they're going through rabies shots. They got infections from the donkey. The sexually frustrated children. When did children start getting sexually frustrated? And teenagers. Well, that's part of adolescence, I guess. They were at a hospital there for 1 week to each receive rabies vaccinations after the animal transmitted the disease to them, explained the newspaper in their August 10 edition that was yesterday. The incident has put the families of these 15 people into distress and horror. Really? Reports the newspaper. Authorities have been alerted and are trying to find anybody else who has, quote, approached and, quote, admired the animal closely. Like with their ding dong.
That's what we call it now.
Huh? Yeah. I just approached this donkey and I really admired the F out of it.
I approached but did not admire.
So they're screwing donkeys, people, around the world. Everything is going well.
And it is at home, too. And like many Americans, 37-year-old Justin Dopp Smith had a problem and a desire to clean up bank fraud. However, he did not take the action in the form of writing Congress or his local authorities to pass some sort of banking legislation or look into the issue. Instead, Justin stuffed a dead cat into the deposit box at his local Associated Bank in Stevens Point, Wisconsin.
That's okay.
Yeah. He's apparently unfamiliar with the idea that banking places have, well, surveillance cameras all over the place. So he was caught on video committing this act, arrested on numerous charges that for some reason include arson because he allegedly set fire to a tree. What that has to do with bank fraud, I have no idea. And also, the police report said regarding drugs, none of them.
He's just stupid. It doesn't even take dope anymore to incite these incidents. They're just stupid.
Here's a dead cat and a tree on fire.
Okay, here's even more. This is becoming all too common now. And this goes back to our discussion, and not to be ongoingly judgmental, but people are exceedingly stupid, and we're going backward. We are not evolving as a race into a smarter, more intellectual place. We are going backward. And a great deal of this can be blamed on social effing media and just people's obsession with this stuff, and that's all they care about. Two unnamed girls babysitting an infant on Monday came up with an ingenious idea to keep the baby from crying. That idea was to put the baby in a refrigerator and close the door. Luckily, the mother had not yet left the house, and she pulled the baby out of the fridge unharmed. She was a bit chilled, but she's all right. The other great idea the girls had was to post a video of them putting the baby in the fridge to Snapchat, of course, which led to the police seeing it and them being arrested. What part of this don't you understand? People don't think it's cute, and the police are monitoring this stuff like never before, and you're an idiot. Mom said that one of the teens is her niece, the baby's cousin, adding, "I will no longer be leaving my children with my niece or her friends again ever in my life." Well, that's smart, Mom. Good call there.
I'd make the whole family off limits.
Well, it's just, I don't know. People's sense of reason and practicality and common sense have just left the planet. London, Kentucky. Ah, yes. Fine, fine area. Two Kentucky teens have landed felony charges after stealing an ice cream cake for a prank broadcast. Where? On social media.
Ah.
I guess they were going to Facebook Live it. We have also created a culture because of TV shows like America's Got Talent, American Idol, these endless shows about, it's all about competition, and everybody wants to be a star. Everybody wants to be recognized for something. It's the old Andy Warhol line, and it's being played out way too much. 15 seconds is too long. That was Warhol's line, and it is all coming to pass, and not in a good way. So these two idiots, this is from Laurel County up there, London. The sheriff there is named John Root. How you doing, sheriff? Says 18-year-old Seth Messer and 19-year-old Ajahi Cotton stole the cake from Dunkin' Donuts last Friday and were arrested Tuesday after their getaway car was spotted, well, in London, where they live. There are barns there, boys. Find a barn to hide the car in. The release says that Cotton, he's one of the kids, filmed this other dickhead taking the cake with a value of about $25. Sheriff's spokesman, Deputy Gilbert Serhuna, says employees confronted the pair, but Messer cussed the officer and told him, "F you, this is my cake." Now, that was a good decision. The police officer handcuffed them, and they were going to get their due course. And one of the young men asked the officer, "We're really going to jail for this?" The officer said, affirmative. It's unclear if they have any lawyers. God almighty. And from Pennsylvania, now this is three straight, and if we search, there are probably more. A drug suspect, a guy who was, I guess, on dope, selling dope, everything. He was taunting police on social media. I just don't understand how these people don't ever hear about these incidents, nor does it cross their mind that law enforcement uses this stuff to catch idiots like them. This boy, 20 years old, Shaheen Malik, arrested on charges he sold acid, marijuana, and ecstasy. Police say the suspect called himself Hash. That's smart, too. And used a woman's alias on Facebook where the taunts were posted. You won't catch me, coppers. Come on, pigs. So police say that the public helped them find this degenerate after they posted an alert on their website about his media taunts. Online records don't have an attorney for him. He doesn't likely know what one is. He's in jail still he had all this dope and all that, and he has a talk with a judge coming up next week.
Can't catch me. Challenge accepted.
There just has to be, I guess, in every department in America, whether it be in Kentucky in a small town or Pennsylvania, it doesn't take much to pull up Facebook and just, you know, this happens every day. Every day we have one of these, and it is the new hip thing. It was bath salts and being naked for a long time, and now it's this. It's some idiot that wants to be famous, and so they get on the Facebook Live or on Snapchat, and they're famous, and they're also in jail, and their lives are ruined. So watch what you do. The money is flowing. Well, it might be. It may or might not. Tonight, Mega Millions, the jackpot, up to $382 million. A lump sum cash payout of $238 million. You aren't going to win. The Powerball is tomorrow night. It'll be worth $356 million. Lump sum cash payout, $224 million.
That'll do you for a little while.
We probably won't live that long the way this is going, but it'd be good to have just to play with for a little bit. This story here, I just saw this, and this really isn't a dumbass thing. Well, it is kind of. I think it's desperate and it's sad, and I tried to find the song, which I'm going to tell you about, but I couldn't find it. Her heart may be in the right place, but still, this is just plain tacky. Glenn Campbell passed away a couple of days ago. The discussions of his life have been everywhere on this show and in many other spots because of Alzheimer's, how common it has become among our family and friends, and what a horrible thing it is to watch people that you love just... They just kind of fade away, and then they end up, they can't speak. This really hits home if you can take it, because I really couldn't even watch this. It was the day after he died on CMT, I think. I'm not sure. Somebody emailed this yesterday. But there is a concert of him from 2014. He was kind of a farewell thing. And he did it with three of his kids. But it is evident how ugly this disease is because he had to have this thing right down by his feet, a prompter with the words to his songs, the things he was to say on stage. He, in fact, didn't even know his kids' names. And he had – so at the really, really awkward part was – He began Rhinestone Cowboy, I think it was, and he got through the first verse, and the prompter went out, and he had no idea what the words were. And you could just feel the audience and the band just kind of, it just kind of hurt them. It was sad. It was awkward. And he was laughing about it because he didn't know what to do. And so they, you know, fixed the prompter, and they got it all back together again. But anyway, it just underscored what a sad thing this disease is, and it affects so many people. But his passing, once again, he was not ashamed to show what it was like, and he put himself out there in a very, very vulnerable place so people could see what it was like, and his... wife and his family were there at his side, and they weren't ashamed of him. They loved him and supported him through all of it, but it was still just painful as heck. The point is, the story here, a long time ago, in the early 80s, when he had his success and he was flying high and divorced his wife and whatever, and was doing a bunch of coke and drinking too much, and he got involved with Tanya Tucker. And this was a real big tabloid story back in those days. And it made Glenn look tacky, and it made her look tackier, because she had one hit and no great talent, as I recall. They were the subject of a torrid romance, which went up in flames. They were in a hotel room one night someplace and got drunk and were fighting and carrying on and got locked up. Well, she may be well-intentioned, but somehow these kinds of things just reek of a money grab and making it about you. He hadn't talked to this skank in 25 years, but she has recorded a new song because she has no career, and not that I know of. She hadn't been around in forever, has she?
No.
She's just not. She has a new song called Forever Loving You. So she managed to get this record cut in 3 days.
Wow.
Nice going, hon. She says the proceeds from the song will go to the Alzheimer's Foundation of America, which is a sweet gesture. Unfortunately, nobody will hear the song or buy it, so they will get no money, which is a drag. But nice try. And if that's being too harsh, I'm sorry. But this reeks of it. Just go away. Just be sad about it. But stop trying to take advantage of his death by getting your name back in the news. It happens way too much.
You know, I found the story on Variety, and this article says a portion of the proceeds will benefit Alzheimer's Foundation of America. Well, a portion? Yeah. Why not the whole thing?
A portion of nothing is nothing. So that's where that is. And if they keep showing this story about Taylor Swift, we're going to turn this TV off, or I'm going to pull an Elvis on Elvis Week and shoot it out. This is ridiculous. Somebody grabbed her ass. Get over it. God almighty. This is why your newscasts are so unwatchable. Nobody cares that somebody grabbed her ass. And last night, Britney Spears fell down on stage, and they've showed that over and over and over again. Can't you just show Mr. Trump saying fire and fury some more? There he is. Hello, Mr. President.
Careful what you wish for, man.
Push that button, buddy. Go for it. Let's just get it over with. Golly.
You should use your powers for good and wish we win the lotto or something.
Well, I would prefer that, but there isn't enough news about it to keep me interested. I got to hear about about war and stupid people in charge of countries and pushing buttons and not knowing when to be quiet. That is the top of the story, the top of the headlines for the day. Everybody involved on both sides of this, seriously, is they are encouraging these countries' leaders to be quiet. Tact and diplomacy have been utilized by America and its enemies and allies for a long, long time. And the results have usually been that nobody got blowed up. If this continues, these egomaniacs are going to lose control of themselves. And regardless of any advice from their people, someone's going to give the order to, you know, push a button somewhere, and something's going to be ugly. There are those that are not concerned about this because of what I just said, because of the consequences are a lot bigger than anybody realizes. South Korea, it is a big country. It's full of Americans. It's full of American troops, 28,500. They are preparing to do whatever they need to, you know, what may come. It's kind of hard to figure why little old Kim Jong-un is not going to, because they're 34 miles apart. And I suppose he could just aim some guns over there and really screw things up. But if you want a full-scale world war, do that. Instead, he has targeted Guam, which is 30 miles long and full of Americans and other people, and they don't hurt nobody. They're just out there in the sea. They are southeast of Korea. So he could, within 14 minutes, have a missile from his place to their place, although he contends the missiles would be in the water around Guam, not on land. America has the power to shoot those missiles down. However, the stories about that suggest that sometimes we can do that and sometimes we miss.
Right. We've had stories about the test, and some of the tests have gone very well, but it's easier to go well when shooting to shoot down a missile when you know that there's one coming in the general direction.
Right.
Some of them have missed. And the idea that North Korea wants to send four missiles
at once.
Yeah. The idea being that if the U.S. tries to shoot any of them down and just misses one, it's still a win for North Korea.
That's considering how close they are. They're 2,000 miles apart. There's Guam. It is not too far from that place. The military there, active military, 6,000 people and a population of 160,000-odd people. But we have forces there, and all these people are gearing up. But the story that keeps kind of returning to every story that I see is people don't understand that, yes, we are prepared. Yes, we have outposts around the world, in Japan, in every place imaginable, in Korea, in Guam, and this takes sometimes, you know, weeks and months to gear these troops up, and tanks, and all of these things, all the submarines, all the air power. You have to plan these things, and you just can't snap your fingers and have it done. But there is no question that the U.S. military is the strongest and biggest and most powerful in the world. But if we are asked to, you know, use this stuff, it's going to really become a thing that none of us wants to even consider. Hopefully somebody is talking to Mr. Kim Jong-un about this, like China, but China has removed themselves from the conversation, which is unfortunate for us. But maybe in this country, the chief of staff, the military, the joint chiefs, there are all these people that should be advising the president if he will listen and not have to be a badass. This is not a, you know, football game. This is real life. And the entire weekend, I suspect, will be taken up with what happens. 2 or 3 days was the time frame given yesterday. Today's Friday, then Sunday would be day 3. So there is still a great sense of hope that nothing bad will occur. But when you're dealing with people that are this volatile and this driven by their own narcissistic needs and egomaniacal insanity, you have to wonder. Let's hope that Mr. Trump can, you know, look at his family, his kids, their kids, and realize the consequences of what this could bring. We will find out before too long. Hopefully it won't be anything big. Elvis Week is here, year 40. The auction factor, if you want to buy some stuff, that is happening as of yesterday. Auction.graceland.com. The white piano this thing is really cool. And it sat there for a long time, and somebody bought it. But these people keep buying up the Elvis stuff, then they resell it, or they at some auction for more money. And this keeps going on and just going and going on forever. The white piano was played by W.C. Handy, Duke Ellington, Count Basie, Cab Calloway before Elvis got it in 1956. There are a number of other Elvis items. There are movie posters. There's a jumpsuit he wore in some movie. There's all kind of stuff. There are some real outlandish things. The owner says that they are not for the faint of heart. The likes of a red elephant corduroy suit. That sounds good. A tiger-striped stage cape and a pair of Follow That Dream wraparound sunglasses. Elvis. Elvis, Elvis, Elvis. So today begins all the activity. Goes for 7 days. So that will be a big part of town. So welcome the guests from around the world, and they are here. This is the 40th year, and many people, I'm sure, have been added onto the list of tourists that come here because of the new guest house at Graceland, the big hotel, and the new items over there around Graceland, which have made it a lot more attractive, and we probably will have a town full of visitors. So be polite to them if you're on Beale Street, and for God's sake, let's not have anything dumb go down on Beale Street this weekend. At about midnight, just go home. Just go the hell home. You don't. There's no point to be out drinking until 4 o'clock in the morning, even for Elvis. So just go home. On Tuesday next week, the mayor of this town will come in here and sit and talk to us. Mayor Jim has been in office now for, 18, 19 months? And 80 officers were introduced last night. They got... Well, they're now on the MPD, so we'll ask Jim about that. And the Coliseum meeting about that, the future of that place and the fairgrounds in general also went on yesterday. I have seen nothing as a follow-up on that. The one story that I do think requires some discussion, and I am not trying to be... there are three people from the city council going down to New Orleans. Now, New Orleans right now, on a kind of a tangent, is having a really, really bad time. And this story, I suppose, has been covered up all week by the stories locally and everywhere about the possibility of a nuclear war or war of some kind. That's going on. And so these other stories have been a bit quiet. The stories of how Houston was underwater and the flooding down there, they have issues still. Last weekend in New Orleans, it rained 10 inches in 4 hours. And so things got really, really bad down there, and they are still. I didn't realize the severity of this. We were just there in at the end of May, and everything is, great, and you have to assume that since Katrina, they had all of this stuff back in order and everything was fine. Well, when presented with another case like this, this shows that things are not good. We, and I, in fact, mentioned on this program, we drove around out of the French Quarter and down to various places and noticed what horrible shape the streets are in. Even worse than the ones here, the potholes and the cracks and all of the things that come, I suppose, from endless rain and, things like that. After this big hurricane that just destroyed a good part of that town, they have fought back. It'll be, 9, 10 years?
12.
It's 12 years?
12 years God and 18 days. I looked at the calendar.
Yeah, because me and Zeke started here in July of 2015, and that happened about a month after we had been here. And so since then, the wife and I have been there numerous, numerous times and have friends there, and we have friends who came up here to live after that devastation. And so to see this return is just heartbreaking. They have had a hard time with their sewer systems with drainage for years because of, the catch basins are clogged or broken. Water pipes are still broken from Katrina. Potholes and sinkholes. We also noticed that there are some street signs that have still not been replaced 12 years later. That's a small issue, but it shows you that in some cases they're just not paying attention. Rain falling in a very short time span caused this flooding. And some of these shots are just awful. And I can't quite tell where they are, but probably in the usual locations where these issues come down. It's out in, it's in various subdivisions, probably parts of the quarter and elsewhere. But they expect more rain this weekend. And the mayor down there, Mitch Landrieu, who is a lame duck, he's out next year. A bunch of their pumps failed. The city has 121 pumps. and they suck the water out of the drains, and it's pushed out into lakes and other bodies of water. 16 of those pumps malfunctioned, and the end result is cars underwater. It is a mess down there, and they are concerned now about more heavy rain this weekend, which will make this even worse. This is the last thing these people need. And we have friends down there whose houses were flooded. And I'm sure that you've seen some of this stuff on the Facebook. They're going to need some more money to fix this. They got $2 billion in grants for roads and various stuff from FEMA back in 2005. How they use that seems to be in question now. The mayor has fired 4 people from the Department of Water and whatever it's called because they're incompetent jerks. So this is a really, really bad scene. So Houston and New Orleans have had a real bad week. So if you have friends there or family there, think about them and give them a call. And so if more of that comes this weekend, which is forecast, we are stuck in the midst of a storm going north of here and one south of here. And what we get will be some rain probably, and it'll be humid as heck. My point about this is that this doesn't say when this is going to go on, but some members of the city council, Berlin Boyd, I believe, who began this discussion, this talk about Beale Street bucks. The mayor's plan was 12 bucks. Right, or was it 10? Was it 12?
10.
10 bucks, 8 bucks went back to you to buy drinks, 2 bucks went to the city. Well, the council wanted to mess with that, and they changed it to 5 bucks. And I still don't recall that we ever got a clear answer on where that money goes. Anyway, Beale Street, as you know, is a 2-block street, pretty much. Behind Beale is the FedEx Forum, and then going the other way, there's the Peabody, and so it's a pretty, it's a 2-block street that is surrounded by other businesses and restaurants and activity, and some bad things go on down there, which is not good for tourism or the image of the city, but it is not anything like Bourbon Street, except it has bars and music and restaurants and such. But Bourbon Street and Beale Street do not share that many things. But they intend to go down there, and I presume, and maybe I'm wrong about this, and they'll find some answers to bring back to Beale Street to implement there to make some of the crowd control and those kind of things that spawn these issues and stampedes and all that stuff. Maybe that's their plan. But I have been in the middle of Bourbon Street a number of times. There are many different parts to Bourbon. There's the tacky, disgusting part, and then there's the calm part, and then there's the part where there are, you know, condos and nice houses and stuff like that. But what they hope to glean about that, even during the Mardi Gras, they keep control of this, and it doesn't get out of control. There's always drunks and fights and morons, but you don't hear that much about anybody getting shot on Bourbon Street. Their crime issues have expanded a lot the past year, and some ugly things have happened in the quarter. But Bourbon Street in general is not the place where anything bad goes down. So I don't know what they hope to learn. A 2-block street, and how many blocks are on Bourbon, I can't think. It's 8, 9, 10, 12.
Yeah, it's at least 8, I think.
It's a very long, very versatile, very different dynamic every block kind of a street. Beale Street is 2 blocks and Handy Park and the Forum behind that. So to compare the two and try to glean any kind of knowledge about how to control the, you know, crowds and stuff, it seems to be a strange comparison. But maybe they have some plans that we aren't aware of. We'll just ask the mayor and find out.
Because they're going this weekend.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, so they might be on their way now.
they're picking a hell of a time to go with all this flooding and stuff going on. Maybe they should have put this off.
On that note, I found where the flooding exactly is.
All right, where?
The outage of the pumps affects East Bank areas located west of the Industrial Canal, which include Mid-City, the 7th Ward, Lakeview, and does not affect pumping capacity in New Orleans East, Lower 9th Ward, and Algiers.
Okay.
So you probably know where those
are. So the French Quarter isn't mentioned. Metairie isn't mentioned because that's a suburb outside of the... Because the a quarter is a small part of that city. It's a much more expansive town than just the French Quarter. But it's bad enough, so I guess they can work their way through there and see. Is the mayor going with these people?
Doesn't say.
I don't think so.
Berlin Boyd, Martavius Jones, and Patrice Robinson, and a couple of other people. One guy from the MPD. Well. Good luck, y'all, and hopefully you'll avoid any of these messes down there because it is getting a little bit funky. So good luck to you all.
We look forward to seeing your report.
Yeah, I want to see what they can bring back from that. I just don't see how you can lay any comparisons about that place to this place. But maybe they know more than we do because they're politicians and they're obviously smarter than us. The Sleep Number bed people are pretty smart too. They make great beds and they have been doing that for 30 plus years. And it's a whole different concept in sleeping. If you have one, you know. If not, you might want to put it on your list to improve your sleep. It's very, very comfortable. At our house, the number is 100. It is on both sides of the bed. It is still firm, but it's also really kind of cushy and kind of fluffy and all that, all in one. And they keep advancing their technology to offer you a better sleep and a new bed from time to time. Now their biggest hot item is the Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed. It keeps everybody in the bed comfortable, hopefully just two of you, unless you have animals all over the place, which we do too. We aren't concerned about their sleep number because, well, they're animals. But they get their own spot. So now with this new thing, it tracks how you sleep and suggests and kind of adjusts to your body as the night goes on. So you might want to go by and ask about this. They have three stores locally, Wolf Chase, Saddle Creek, and in South Haven on Goodman Road. So wander in and they will show you how this works. They have pillows as well and bed toppers and many things to add to your good night's sleep. Go by and visit with them anytime you want to and they'll tell you all you want to know. Right now they have a sale on this new bed, up to $400 off the Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed. And more info too at sleepnumber360.com. No, just sleepnumber.com. That's the bed number. There's just too much going on here. I'm trying to play with a mouse, too. Not an animal, but the thing here. All right, a break, and we'll come back in just a moment. And coming up, Reverend Whalum and his commentary for the week in just a few minutes.
Email us anytime at mail@drakeinthemorning.com.